From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Marketing Matters on Business Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my special guest host today, Annie Wilson, who's a behavioral scientist, and she's a professor here of marketing here at Wharton. Hello, Annie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Americus is not here today. He's out doing something. He never tells me actually what he's doing, so I don't know. But he'll be back another time. But it's really good that Annie's here, because today we're going to celebrate and talk about Women's History Month. And Annie knows a lot about being a woman, I suppose.
I guess so.
And so we can talk a lot. She's also a big expert on advertising. She teaches our advertising course, and she does a lot on wellness. She does a lot in consumer behavior. So her expertise and perspective will be really useful. And our guest for this segment is Emily May, who's the president, co-founder, and lead executive officer of Right to Be. And she's currently running a campaign in partnership with L'Oreal. Hello, Emily. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So why don't you first start right off with telling us about what Right to Be is, what your role is there, and what the inspiration mission of the of Right to Be is?
Absolutely. So Right to Be is an organization working to address harassment in all of its forms. We're a nonprofit, and we started back in 2005 with the very dated at this point name Hollaback. But the idea was that we were young folks between the ages of 21 and 24, and we were upset about street harassment. We were sick of people whistling at us, calling names, saying what they wanted to do to us, touching us as we walked down the street. And so we'd heard a story about a young woman named Tao Nguyen who was riding the New York City subway when an older man exposed himself to her. And Tao had had this happen again, so she whipped out her 2005 flip phone and took a picture of him, with the idea of taking it to the police. The police were like, sorry, miss, he's 7 or 8 stops away, nothing we can do. So she put that photo in 2005 on Flickr, the photo sharing website. It went viral, made it to the front cover of the New York Daily News here in New York City. And we were like, wow, like this girl is turning what's happening to her, turning the lens off of her and onto this person who, you know, is harassing her and threatening her. And as it turned out, he had been doing this to many, many, many girls and women, including my boss at the time. And so we were just so compelled by her ability to share her story. We started this little blog and very much focused in on this phenomenon of street harassment that today I'm so proud to say we're partnered with L'Oreal Paris to address on a massively global scale. But at the time, there was nobody out there doing that work. And the evolution of Right to Be started off on street harassment and then expanded to look at harassment in all of its forms and the ways that it impacts people of different identities differently. You know, the way that harassment looks different for Black folks or for Muslim folks or for folks with learning differences, for example. And we've really, you know, been proud to bring this work to scale. And in partnership with L'Oreal Paris, we've trained 2.5 million people on what to do when they witness harassment using our methodology, the 5 D's of bystander intervention.
So what do you mean train, and what are those 5 D's? I mean, it's hard to not get. I want to get to the point about L'Oreal, but now you've really piqued my interest on how you get trained. You're not going to beat people up, are you? I mean, I'm just curious what
no.
the training is. Yeah.
Believe it or not, that is not a good way to de-escalate violence.
Yeah, I had a feeling. That was my first guess, but it wasn't clear what would be a better way. So
I mean, I hear you, and I think that's what Hollywood teaches us, right, is that we're supposed to strap on superhero spandex and swoop down and beat everybody up. what we teach people is that, in fact, like, we don't want to replicate these cycles of violence by doing anything violent, including even name calling to people who are harassing other people. So what we have put together over the past 12 years and really brought to scale in partnership with L'Oreal Paris is Right to Be's 5 D's of bystander intervention. So quickly, they are distract, create a distraction to de-escalate the situation. Delegate, finding somebody else to help, maybe the person beside you. document, creating documentation of the incident, and then giving it to the person who was harassed, leaving them in choice on how they want to use it. Delay. Delay is simply checking in on that person because sometimes harassment happens quickly and that's all that you can do. And last but not least, direct. Again, no superhero spandex over here, but it is about directly saying to the person who harassed the other person, like, hey, like, leave her alone. Create some space. Why don't you go sit over there and calm down, right? But what you want to do, and this is the trick to it, is that you don't want to get in a back and forth with that person. Whatever they say back to you, you're ignoring them and you're turning your attention onto the person being harassed in hopes of setting the boundary, but ultimately de-escalating them. And with all five of these D's, you're prioritizing the person being harassed's care, right? You're prioritizing them in that moment above and beyond everyone else.
So let's get into the campaign with L'Oreal. So one of them is like, don't blame the way you dress. Don't blame your makeup, I assume, is the connection with L'Oreal. Stand up for your rights. So how did you choose L'Oreal? And was it because, don't blame your makeup? Is that where was that the entry to the campaign? Or was it much deeper than that? Or,
well, I'll tell you a fun little story, which is, probably 5 years before we ever spoke to L'Oreal, as an organization, we were like, we should really partner with some makeup brands, some fashion brands, because we are aligned that everyone has the right to be their full, complete, beautiful, gorgeous selves. Like, you deserve to look however you want and to walk down the street and to still feel safe and confident. And so we went to a number of these beauty and makeup brands and fashion brands, not L'Oreal, incidentally, but everyone else we could get a meeting with. And everyone was like, yeah, no. So then comes along, Me Too in 2017. And we're hosting these public free trainings on Right to Be's 5 D's of bystander intervention. And L'Oreal shows up to one of them and then sends us an email and is like, hey, we really want to do something to empower women. We've done this research globally that shows that sexual harassment is the number one issue facing women globally. We're the world's number one makeup brand. We want to take on this issue, but we want it to be solutions-based, not just about raising awareness. And we think you guys are doing something cool over there. And we were like, wow, like, we literally dreamed this 5 years ago and had 15 doors slammed in our face. How cool is this that now, the world's largest makeup brand is coming to us really wanting to amplify this? And I think the power of it is a few different things. I mean, first of all, we've got this curriculum that we have developed now in 44 different countries around the world. We are training, as I said, 2.5 million people so far, but we're on deck to train another 50,000 people at least in the United States this year. And it's a beautiful thing to see these ideas move at scale, because that's how you change hearts and minds. So it's not just by the people who can find their way to us. It's about us finding new people outside of our regular day-to-day, like, oh, I love Right to Be folks, and reaching them where they are.
So I guess to that point, I appreciate the alignment of reaching out to makeup and fashion brands and talking to brands that mostly serve a more female audience. I guess one thing that struck me with the also don't blame what you're wearing and the 5 D's is it is a lot about what the victim of the harassment should do or how they should be supported and less about, like, not harassing people. And so I'm curious as to whether you've considered or if you are in active partnership with any brands that market more to men, and what does that message look like when you partner with groups that are really more geared toward being the positive bystander on the, I'm not going to say women don't street harass or catcall, but proportionally, it seems less likely. So, how do you speak to those audiences? Or is there another set of criteria for how to help or intervene too?
Well, what's interesting, there's a lot layered in that question. I appreciate that question. There's a few things that are interesting. I mean, one is that this work that we're doing at L'Oreal Paris, we're actually finding that about half the people taking this training are men. Another piece here to look at is that
as the person being harassed, not trying to learn not how not to harass.
I mean, the training is about bystander intervention, right? So they're attending with the intention of learning what to do if they witness harassment.
Okay. That's interesting.
And so about half of them are men. I think the other thing that's very interesting that we see across all of our trainings that we offer is that the people who are most likely to intervene are people who are experiencing that form of harassment themselves because they know what it looks like and they know what the impact is. And so absolutely, we want allies in there. We want allies to take this training because it's a way for them to learn what the rest of us who get harassed, right, already know intuitively. And also, we want to make sure that the people who are most likely to intervene are also equipped with these skills, both. So, you know, I think your point about, you know, partnering with brands that focus on men and boys is well taken. And certainly, I think, an area that we can grow in. But I also want to just highlight the importance of training everyone, men, women, children, trans folks, et cetera, right, in bystander intervention.
So one of the things that struck me as soon as you said that is that you were in how many countries? And there is, like, a lot of heterogeneity in the treatment of women in some of these countries. So I was wondering if you have a cultural focus to these trainings or, like, I could imagine there's a lot of differences across the world.
There's a lot of differences. And I think, you know, predominantly we see differences in how people are the prevalence of harassment, how acceptable the harassment is in a given culture. One of the things we do with this curriculum is that we do a cultural adaptation on every single country that we move into. And that cultural adaptation is done in partnership with a local organization focused on gender-based violence, because we want to make sure that that curriculum is absolutely responsible to the folks that are there. And we're seeing tremendous outcomes from this. Approximately, I would say 99% of people who take this training answer the question at the end where we ask folks, would you be willing to intervene? It's a hard yes for people. People feel like,
wow, that's great.
You know, right to these 5Ds are easy and manageable and things that they could do to take care of others in their community.
So I could see from what you just said is a success matrix on the efficacy of your training and things like that. Let's go back, just because this is business, to L'Oreal's goals. And you said, which was very interesting, that they approached you. So do they have certain metrics for what they're doing or what they're measuring in order to build their brand? I assume, yes, they want to do the right thing and they're coming at this for the right reasons. It sounds like they really are. So I'm not questioning that. But I'm wondering if they're also measuring, or if you know anything about it, what it's doing to their brand awareness, what it's doing to their sales. Or I mean, I don't know if you have those discussions, but I'm curious to know if you do and if they shared some of that with you.
Yes, they are actually measuring it. I don't have those numbers offhand. It's not the focus of my work, but they're measuring it and they're showing strong impact in that. I mean, but look, the leading thing that we talk about with them, and I know the leading issue for the brand as a whole, is really around how many people we can train, because we know this training is so effective. So it's, how do we get it out there big and broad and wide? So number of people trained is a leading KPI. We are about to undergo a new round of studies that looks at, after you took the training, did you actually intervene? So in a preliminary version of this that we did in-house inside the organization, we found that within 6 months of people taking the training, that 76% of those people who took the training and actually saw harassment afterwards did intervene, which is a pretty powerful outcome for a 1 hour training, right? So we're doing that same level of work in partnership with L'Oreal Paris now to study that long-term impact and to see, you know, how many people out there, right, got received, you know, bystander intervention in a moment of harassment because of this work and this investment.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, with a lot of discussion on purpose-driven branding and things like that, one of the things that people don't like, you know, let's go back to the Bud Light controversy or something, is a brand saying one thing and then not standing up for it, not doing it. If you're giving us hard metrics on the effectiveness of this campaign, I could imagine that actually being something positive for L'Oreal to promote themselves, to show that they are doing something authentic, that, you know, it's kind of an interesting strategy, even from a branding point of view, to have those kind of hard metrics of success. You taken that approach to try to get other partners, or do you do your own marketing to get other brands and to tell them why it might be good, not necessarily for your goals, which I understand, but also for the marketing goals of a brand?
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen L'Oreal Paris invest in the issue. I mean, we've never seen a business invest in the issue of harassment at the same scale as L'Oreal Paris. This is truly a historic investment is the word I want to use. It's deeply historic. And what I'll add to that is that in addition to those metrics, right, and that impact in the space, they're also showing up as really solid partners, filling in some gaps that the field as a whole has, including a lack of really solid data around harassment. And so this recent study that they just did in partnership with Ipsos, you know, gave us research that we've never had in the entire history of the movement, showing that 75% of women have already experienced street harassment, 47% of women have experienced comments, jokes about their appearance, clothing, anatomy, and that 60% of women are actually changing their clothing or their appearance in hopes of avoiding the harassment. I mean, this is groundbreaking data that we've never seen historically that I don't see how it necessarily increases their bottom line, but I hope it does, because companies who are doing this level of work deserve
I agree. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today. And where can our listeners go to find out more information about you and the Right to Be?
Absolutely. So you can find us at righttobe.org, and you can go and take the training we've done in partnership with L'Oreal Paris at standup.international.com.
Thanks a lot. And thank you, L'Oreal, for partnering with you. That's great. That's all we have time for today. We'd like to thank our producers, Dion Simpkins and Dana Cash. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We replay our show several times throughout the week. You can follow our show and our podcast at Knowledge at Wharton. And you can also follow Business Radio at SXM Business for information about all our programming. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week. Till then, this has been Marketing Matters. I'm Barbara Kahn, here with my guest co-host, Annie Wilson, Business Radio, Sirius XM 132.